This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Come get up.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Ryan McCaffrey,
hello.
Justin Davis,
Scoop.
And Sam Claiborne.
Hey, Damon.
We've got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about Call of Duty Black Ops 3. We're going to talk about Sanic the Fast Hog.
Yeah.
But first... Let's talk about Fallout 4. That game came out yesterday.
I've heard of it.
Mm-hmm. I think we've all been playing it.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time with it.
Yeah.
Do we all like it? I like it a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't like it. I like it.
I like it as well.
I need to like it more. I think I will like it more.
Yeah.
There's so many open world games I love.
I know. Man, there's just a lot to play right now. Also trying to play Tomb Raider. Also still love Metal Gear. Hearthstone expansion coming out tomorrow. Yeah. Halo just came out.
StarCraft.
Hey, StarCraft is this week?
Yeah.
Right? Amiibo Party.
Amiibo Party. Yeah. That's the big one. That's like the top of my list.
Yeah. Save it for the weekend.
But in regards to Fallout 4, our first topic this week comes from Rob in Australia.
You're jumping right into the questions.
I mean, he sent us a good one.
Okay.
So we're gonna address it. He emailed us at GameScoop, the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like you can. And Rob from Australia asks, Fallout or Blops 3, which do you guys think will sell more?
Well, it will literally...
You say Fallout.
Yeah, because it's already
really
number one played game on Steam on its first day, which beat out Grand Theft Auto V, which sold three times as much as the last Fallout.
I will tell you why you're wrong, and it's because Fallout is not on the 360 or PS3.
Neither is Black Ops 3.
Yes, it is. Just half of it, though. Half of it you can still pay for and buy. Yeah, Fallout's
going to
be
huge. I think the word will get around about that last-gen version.
I think the people who are going to buy it aren't listening to the word. They're just going out and buying it.
There are 80 million... PlayStation 3s and like the same amount of Xbox 360s. They're going to sell a lot of copies on those old platforms. I actually think Star Wars Battlefront is going
to
outsell.
Yeah, I want to get to that.
Platform for platform.
I think people can only buy one game in a week, and they bought Fallout already, and they have to not buy other things unless they bought Black Ops, which is not showing up on Steam as much as Fallout is.
Well, Black Ops launched stronger than Advanced Warfare and Ghosts, Activision announced. Although still, it's not back up to the franchise's peak, but it is sort of, it's stemmed the bleeding, and people really like the Black Ops sub-franchise and like what they've done with that game.
We have some numbers. Activision's calling it the biggest entertainment launch of 2015.
Uh-huh.
Made $550 million in 3 days, but Black Ops 2 in 2012 made $500,000 on the first day.
$500 million.
Half a million dollars.
That would be a tough launch, $500,000.
On the first day, just in the U.S. alone.
Yeah.
So it's not a back up to its peak number.
You have to remember, too, this is kind of crappy, but people will steal Fallout and they won't steal Black Ops because you play it online and you can't steal it.
I expect Fallout to outsell Black Ops over the long run. Bethesda releases a game every 3, 4, 5 years, and they just sell and sell and sell. Skyrim still, every time that game's on sale, shoots to the top of Steam's bestseller list. So, I mean, I don't know how long it'll take, but it's lifetime sales. I would absolutely expect
Fallout
4 to be higher.
You're talking about Call of Duty can do north of 20 million units. I don't think Fallout's going to quite get that high. It's too much of a core gamer's game. And it's a very core gamer's game, whereas Black Ops, Call of Duty in general, is much more mass market appeal.
Yeah, I wanted to point out that our Fallout 4 review has performed twice as well as our Black Ops 3 review did. Just anecdotally, there seems to be more interest.
With our hardcore audience
yeah.
For a series that hasn't had a new entry in 7 years, whereas Call of Duty is out every year.
Yeah, that's true. These are all good points. But I guess maybe the better question is, when you throw Battlefront into the mix, like you mentioned, can that outsell Call of Duty?
No.
It could pace it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't know how people can buy 3 games at once. Like, we won't know until after Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, we've talked about this in GameScoop before. We are such an exceptional, game type buyer. Like, we're not like most people that buy games. Like, you can get Battlefront and Fallout in the same space, but it's not going to be week over week, so we just don't know for a long time.
Well, Battlefront and Call of Duty occupy very similar spaces in, the gamer's mind of, the game that I'm just going to sit down and unwind and play some multiplayer matches. And they're very different experiences, obviously, one's sci-fi, one's not, although Black Ops is kind of sci-fi now, too. But, I mean, so it's very different than Fallout, which is delivering a completely sort of separate experience. And I do expect those two games to eat into each other a little bit.
So one of the best-selling games of all time was Super Mario Brothers 3, and all they had to do was make a movie to promote it. And luckily, Star Wars Battlefront has that same advantage.
Yeah, do not underestimate.
Made a movie.
The wave of Star Wars. Plus, I mean, if there's a thing, the reason I think that Battlefront is going, a big reason why I think Battlefront's going to just completely dominate is if there's one thing that game does well from what I saw of it in the beta, I mean, we're in process of reviewing the whole thing now, but what the beta showed me was that its number one goal, which it seems to have achieved, is it feels like Star Wars. It really makes you feel like you're in the middle of a 40-player Star Wars battle, and that is going to be, combined with the movie hype, that is going to be something that everybody at school, everybody's going to be talking about, man, just sharing those sort of water cooler, I flew the...
name
the
Star Wars thing.
I'm just freezing up. There's too much. I was gonna say flew the Death Star. I don't think we're doing that in the game. But I think Battlefront, pound for pound, is going to be the number one game this holiday.
See, I don't anecdotally, I'm not a giant Call of Duty guy. I play one every 3 or 4 or 5 years, and Black Ops is that game for me. The last one that I really played was Modern Warfare 3, and I think Black Ops...
Tough one to leave off on.
Yeah, I know, but Black Ops 3 is really good. Like, even as someone that's sort of not a giant fan of the franchise, I'm totally having fun with Black Ops, and I, based on the beta of Battlefront, and all the usual caveats apply, not the full game, hopefully they're making final tweaks, I wasn't that crazy impressed with it. I didn't think the gunplay felt as good as it does in a game like Halo or a game like Call of Duty. So,
but again, you're coming at it from that hardcore gamer's perspective, where you're much more in tune to those sort of sensitivities.
I just, not any insider information. I haven't spoken to our reviewer at all. Based on my experience, I don't expect Battlefront to review as positively as Call of Duty. Yeah.
Hmm.
But that's my personal prediction and
it's possible. I mean, the absence of a campaign will go a long way towards probably putting a ceiling on its review scores, just in principle.
I'm hoping those single player waves of enemy battles will be okay.
Have a lot of meat on them.
Yeah.
That's a big question mark. Like, we know they're more than some people kind of thought they were, but how much gameplay there's really there, I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, definitely we're keeping quiet about it.
Is there any chance the release of The Force Awakens could be the biggest entertainment launch of 2015 and beat Black Ops 3? $10 movie tickets compared to whatever, $60
game. 6 days or something, right?
I mean, I think
11 days.
Obviously, Force Awakens is going to make billions of dollars. I don't know that it can make money as quickly as Call of Duty did right at launch, just because that's the way movies work. Yeah. Like, that's too much for one weekend. Mm. But
yeah, probably. But man, I mean, I don't expect you're going to be able to buy a movie ticket. I don't think you're going to be able to walk up to see Force Awakens for at least a week.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I would think so. Sam, do you know how fast the Death Star can go?
In space?
Yeah.
Like, no. Light speed?
Can it?
Well, yeah, because it goes from planet to planet, so it has to go to hyperspace, so it must be able to jump to hyperspace, so infinite speed.
Mm.
Actually, there is a limit on the hyperspace speed, because you see that they're in the ship during hyperspace.
Someone just appear. Someone text Anthony Gallegos. We need answers.
it goes from Alderaan to Yavin, yeah. Which are presumably light years apart.
It must be able to.
In like 3 hours.
But then it's got to circle around the moon for another.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? If you go to hyperspace, that's one thing, but then you have to use your in-system thrusters to get around. It's a very different problem to solve.
Death Star doesn't seem very practical. I'm not a big Star Wars guy.
What about
guy?
Building it out of a planet? That's a good idea. They're doing that now. That's what they're doing in the movie.
Spoilers.
The base will be built out of a planet. I don't think that's a spoiler.
All right.
I don't even know if it's true. How can it be a spoiler?
Our next question comes from Chase Mazur.
That's a really cool name.
Sounds like a Star Wars name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chase. Chase says, today was like walking through a minefield.
Oh, goodness.
And he's referring to Monday, November 9th, the day before Fallout 4 came out, in the day that the embargo lifted and all the coverage went up. He says, it was a day of refreshing tracking data and dodging evocative headlines. Tracking data means it probably is Amazon. His copy of the game coming.
Got it.
Everywhere I look, there's an article about how to get a piece of gear quicker or a live stream 24 hours into the game. Feels like the internet is trying to ruin the game I'm waiting to play. Yeah. I'm not mad, maybe a bit frustrated. This feels like a product of the embargo and not just the hype. A megaton nuke was just dropped on the internet, and most people are just trying to survive and get the chance to play it themselves. IGN's job is to create content and not filter it. That's on the consumer. So I've opted out, disconnected. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on Fallout 4's embargo. Would more room on the embargo help trickle this info out for fans seeking it? Just seems to be everywhere and overwhelming, especially just 24 hours from release.
So that's by design, though. Mm. Like that's what Bethesda wanted.
That's exactly
what Bethesda wants. Right on the eve, if the embargo, a lot of times what'll happen, secret insider information is, the further out a review embargo is, the earlier it is, the more confident a publisher tends to be in how well they think it's going to review.
Like, sure, talk about it 10 days early.
Yeah.
Go for it.
But with Fallout, they seem to have seemingly wisely decided, well, we don't want people getting psyched up a week in advance. We want them to be able to actually, like, get psyched up with all the reviews and then go right to lineup at GameStop and pick it up that night or pre-ordered on the console that night. So, yeah, I think they wanted that megaton impact for 24 hours before launch.
And I will say, we're being very deliberate. This is a little inside baseball. I don't know how fascinating it's going to be. But the Fallout content that we're promoting, we're really trying to put ourselves in the headspace of, if you've had the game one day, or like the day before launch, we were really promoting our character creator guide, like how to create, you know, a specific character, how the perk system works, the first things you should see and do in the world. Like, that was our day one content. And now that we're in day two, three, four, like even next week, we're like, what are people really gonna wanna see? Like, who are the companions and how to find them? Like, that's probably good content for leading into the weekend. And then once some time has passed, like, I hope we're not being too spoilery or too in people's face about it, but like, I can
think about it a lot.
I can tell you that you and me and Jared and lots of people are really thinking really hard about what people are gonna wanna see day one, week one, month one.
So when the Halo 5 review embargo lifted, which was what also a day or a little more before the game came out, we posted a link to, without spoiling it in the thing, but we posted the ending, the legendary ending to the game.
With spoiler warnings all over.
And we caught a lot of flack from our readers for that. People were not happy to even see that there, even though, you know, they'd have to click on it. But at the same time, I think, and we responded, like, we took it off of, like, it was still there, but it just wasn't really front-facing anymore. So, I mean, you know, it's a weird balance to try and maintain.
Yeah. From the background of Game Help, like, it is the most important thing to me to get a giant, helpful, free strategy guide up for people who are getting stuck on the first day. And part of that process is making sure that we make it so you can find that guide. If we have to get out the word about that. It's just so important. And then we lose in both ways because sometimes we put up a full strategy guide and people are like, oh my gosh, the game just came out today. Like, why are you guys, giving these people all this stuff? Let them find it out for themselves. Or we get, this is old. I read this on another site yesterday.
Yeah. Or I need help with this thing and you don't have it, and I can't find it.
I'm totally sympathetic to both those views, but it's better for I think the people that need help want a giant, just free, amazing strategy guide. We work so hard on these things to find them as soon as they get the game, if they want to.
And I'll also say in regards to Fallout specifically, I won't even repeat what it was, but there's a spoiler circulating that's actually not true. Like, everyone thought, I just saw dozens and dozens of people saying, oh my god, I just had the ending of the game spoiled for me. And some, it was a masterful troll that it's not even the real thing.
That happened with Bioshock Infinite with the real ending. Mm. And it's almost like a meme now where people try to trick people about the ending of games.
But I almost thought that's like a really smart counter troll. Like, if you see the ending to something circulating, start a fake rumor.
That's pretty good.
Because then people won't know, then it's all just like noise. Like, then it's like you don't even know what's real and what's not.
Yeah.
Just like the internet always
is. I think we've talked about this on GameScoop before. But, you know, I remember when somebody came up to me on the playground and they were like, the final boss in Super Mario Brothers 2 is not Bowser.
No, it's
like this.
It's actually all a dream.
Yeah, than that. Like, all this, like, just, and everybody was like, that's great, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
And that, this is the same thing with Luke Skywalker's battle with Vader and just like everything. It's just so funny that the internet made ruining the endings or surprises like such an extreme event that now, like, the fallout from that is like, I don't even want to know how many levels that game has in it. I can't believe you guys are saying that you had fun with the 11th level.
Yeah.
I thought there were only nine.
To me, like, if I see the headline, Fallout 4, how to get power armor in 5 minutes, I don't think that's a spoiler.
Yeah.
To me.
But man, the thing about the game help side of that is that if you want to have a good head start, I love having a head start in games. Like, I'm not too small to admit that. I think that's my favorite thing about strategy guides, and that's what I always loved about writing them, is that, like, when you have some little advantage, and trust me, companies make this out of their DLC now, day one DLC, they're like, you can get a bonus in your XP from just getting this. I love that feeling. I love feeling like I have something a little bit special that's giving me a boost at the start. That's what that Power Armor video is for me. And it's so funny because you can just turn towards a direction and run, and lo and behold, you can just walk into some Power Armor.
Yeah, How cool
is that?
It's really cool.
If you were to take a look at what Fallout content we've promoted and put a pin in the map of Fallout 4, like, we're deliberately working our way through.
Yeah,
like, we don't want to show off certain areas of the game until it's been out, you know, a certain amount of time, for sure, until we believe that a majority of people are kind of getting to that point in the game.
Yeah.
All right, our last question on Fallout 4 this week comes from Joseph. And he says, last year, people were all too happy to say that Assassin's Creed Unity was a terrible mess because of its bugs. But Fallout seems to have similar bugs. Frame rate drops, NPCs glitching through things, NPCs running into you when you're talking to them. I just wonder why you guys think Fallout seems to be getting a pass on its problems, but Assassin's Creed got destroyed for the same reasons.
Okay, first of all, we didn't destroy Assassin's Creed.
So I think we gave it a great review.
We gave it like an 8, and here's why. The problem with bugs is that not everybody experiences them.
Yep.
Everybody has a different review in mind when they're reviewing, or a different experience, and that's the nature of reviewing any type of thing. Well, basically games that have glitches. I mean, we can't track glitches and bugs across, you know, everybody's experience, but that is exactly why we do reviews in progress. And we know servers matter so much to online games and can completely ruin your experience. Again, it's hard for us to say that, you know, we're doing the right thing, because we know the frustration of seeing a review in progress. We also know what it's like to give out a score to a game that we're going to get criticized for because of bugs and glitches. So, you know, we have to make those tough decisions all the time.
We do. It was Joseph was his name. I think he's got a great point. I mean, I enjoy Fallout 4. I'm playing it a lot. It's not my game of the year so far, but I do. I mean, I'm really, really loving it. The bugs do seem worse. Like, that's super legitimate.
Worse than
Skyrim.
Than
an elevator or something, and you're like, is this game coming back?
Like, it seems buggier. So it seems buggier than Bethesda's last couple games to me, compared to Skyrim and Fallout 3. And they're not. I mean, sometimes they are funny. Like, I had ghouls falling from the sky, which is funny and terrifying. I assume that was a bug.
I've only been scared about bugs. I haven't really experienced. But I don't know what to call a bug anymore. Like, I feel like flopping ghouls in a wall is just something I just ignore.
But
now.
I've experienced like significant. Like, there seems to be scripting issues.
I like stuff like that.
What I experience more than anything else are in important like campaign missions. Some trigger doesn't happen.
Oh, that would be
and a
so
character,
frustrating.
Like, a character needs to walk up somewhere and open the door or whatever, and they just don't do it. Yeah. And it's like, that's kind of unforgivable. Like, you can reload a save, but it's like, man, that...
So does that happen in this game to you?
Yeah, it's happened to me a couple times.
I will say, Sam, yeah, I agree. I I've generally had pretty good luck with Bethesda's games.
Me too.
But Fallout 4 I'm having more problems with than their other games. But I think to get back to the question, Damon, and I think the reason this is obviously like such a small little, as Colin Moriarty would say, echo chamber, but if Bethesda's games, if Fallout really is getting a pass compared to the likes of Assassin's Creed, I think it's probably because Bethesda has consistently delivered, 90-plus rated games. I mean, these are consistently fantastic kind of game of the year contending games, whereas the Assassin's Creed series has been very up and down over its lifetime. So I think it's sort of earned credibility.
Also, Assassin's Creed is annualized. And like you said earlier, gamers have been waiting 7 years to play the next Fallout.
That's true.
There's an expectation. The scope of a game sort of informs how buggy I think people expect it to be. Like when the game,
their bug tolerance, basically.
Yeah, like your bug tolerance climbs the bigger a game is, I think, for right or wrong or good or bad. But it's not even just bugs. It's just a side effect of like the sandbox itself. Like I helped a woman. The specifics don't matter. There's a quest. I helped her out. And then her dialogue ended and she walked away. And then I talked to her again and she really snottily was like, I'm on a break right now. And it's like, that's just a sandbox. Like, that's how sandbox games work. And we just ignore stuff like that. None of it makes any sense. The characters don't feel like real people. Like,
maybe it's a reflection on development too. We recognize that Bethesda makes giant bug-filled games and we want them to fix that. But we also we don't recognize Ubisoft's Assassin's Creed series as being a buggy series. It's just not. Like that game was an exception, and that was surprising. And I think people will definitely react to that. If you expect a certain level of quality from a series that's annualized, it's really surprising when it's buggy.
To that point, I mean.
Not passing Fallout for that. I'm just explaining why people would react.
I mean, Brian Altano was having a Twitter argument with Vince Ingenito about this, and I thought Brian made a good point. Is that Grand Theft Auto V, an equally huge scope mega game, did not shipped pretty damn clean. It did not have anywhere near the issues. So yeah, I think you're right, Sam. There's kind of a it is almost weird to say, but almost an expectation that Grand Theft Auto is going to be pristine and polished, but you're going to get some bugs with Fallout, and it's almost like a weird Stockholm Syndrome acceptance.
Yeah. There's definitely an expectations issue there. There was, I think it was in Twilight Princess, if you saved that game at a specific time, it just borked your whole save. You were stuck in a room and could never leave. And
For a Nintendo game, that's unacceptable.
That's what I mean. In a lesser game,
so unusual.
Any game will get whacked for it, but it's almost unbelievable, unfathomable from Nintendo in a way that it's not for other companies.
Yeah. All right, moving on this week. This week we got the first list of 100 and some
104.
Games. 104 games that will be backwards compatible on Xbox.
You knew what he was talking about.
We just did this on my show, too.
On Xbox One. Pretty strong list of games, do you agree?
Good stuff.
Yeah. Lots of stuff on here that I'd completely...
A lot of filler junk, too, to be
stuff
fair.
That I completely forgot
stuff
about.
Stuff that just obviously we tested it and it worked, so put it on the list.
Blood of the Werewolf. Anyone remember that?
That old chestnut.
Dungeon Siege 3. Not only Feeding Frenzy, but Feeding Frenzy 2 Shipwreck Showdown.
I really like Feeding Frenzy.
Wait, didn't Dungeon Siege get an Uwe Boll movie?
Yes, terrible, I mean, obviously it was terrible, but Dungeon Siege 3 is pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But what do you think? Were there any notable exceptions that have been left off the list?
Missing.
I mean, this is just the first wave. I mean, there's because Phil Spencer told me at E3 in an interview, his goal is to get 100% of all first-party games at least, because third-parties, the third-party publishers have to sign off on
it. So that includes Halo, Gears of War, Viva Piñata...
Fusion,
Nuts and Bolts.
But Nuts and Bolts. For instance,
Nuts and Bolts is already on there.
Yeah,
so the Gears of Wars are all on there, but Halo
Halo's
Reach.
Not.
Halo Reach, not
is
on
Is Reach the
list.
Only Halo missing?
No. I think the only Halo is Spartan Assault.
Oh, it's
so they don't have three.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's
some of those are in Master Chief Collection, and that's what the conspiracy theorist in me thinks, that some of the big notable absences are are they going to try to resell us an HD version of this game, and that's why they're withholding?
They've been doing that without backwards compatibility. Why should they stop?
Yeah, I mean, you can download Master Chief Collection. And it's a, probably going to be true. A better deal than buying those yeah. games individually.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, all the Halos are notable absences. Red Dead Redemption is a huge notable absence.
There's nothing from 2K. There's no Red Dead. There's no no GTA. Hmm. 4 or
GTA
5.
GTA 4 would be.
Yeah. Of course, 5 is playable on mm-hmm. Xbox One. But that also means there's no Bioshock.
Mm-hmm. Table tennis.
Rockstar's table tennis.
No Rockstar's table tennis.
An interesting moment. In the gaming history, and yeah. I mentioned really Bionic Commander Rearmed is like one of my favorite games ever. I'd love to play that on.
Yeah,
Mark of the Ninja, please.
Right, that's not on there.
Mark of the Ninja.
Is Shadow Complex on there? Games.
Shadow Complex is.
It is. Okay. That is yeah. one of the.
That's good.
I was a big fan of Braid. I know some people don't like it. I know Ryan doesn't.
Braid's
like it.
Great.
I respect it. I just it's too smart for me.
I like rewind buttons actually, in games.
Too smart for me too.
It's too smart for me. I like Limbo. It's
yeah,
like
that's more my speed.
A little lighter, but yeah.
But is Limbo on there? But I guess Limbo's already been.
It's on Xbox
yeah,
One.
It's on Xbox
for like $5.
You know what's weird? Miss Splosion Man is on here, but not the original Splosion Man.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah.
And then the Pac-Man CEs would be good to get on.
They're on yeah. there. CE and, okay. and DX are both on.
DX
there.
Is. Oh, I thought yeah. DX was missing. That's great news. Yep. Okay, cool.
Can we say so? 2K that includes Bioshock. No Bioshock.
Yeah, no Bioshock.
So think about that, though. I mean, that takes more than just porting. You have to set up the infrastructure for the leaderboards. So that's really cool.
Yeah. So what about like Geometry Wars?
Geometry Wars is not on there.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very leaderboard-driven game as well. Obviously, yeah. So.
And then, do you know how achievements work? Does it just recognize your achievements if you already earned them?
I believe achievements work. I know multiplayer does.
I mean, they unlock as normal. I mean, basing it off Rare Replay, which is sort of like a beta test for this, is they just unlock like normal.
Yeah, because
like basically you're booting into a 360.
Exactly. Like, yeah, it turns your Xbox One into a virtual Xbox 360. So achievements should work. Fine.
And they actually
we're saying should because this comes out tomorrow as we're recording this.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like we've seen backwards compatibility in action. I played a lot of Rare Replay with Perfect Dark, for example, and any game, like when I bought Rare Replay, a bunch of achievements just unlocked because I'd already earned them.
I see.
Like, it just carried over my old profile.
That's good.
I ran out of space on my Xbox One this week, so.
Ooh. Yeah, me too.
Gotta join the external hard drive club.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that, actually.
Yeah, both my consoles are full now.
Is it a tough operation? I know we wrote about it in our wiki.
It's plug and play. It's just a matter of what you want. Like, for me, I didn't want to have to run another AC adapter behind my entertainment center, so I got a bus powered 2 terabyte for like $90.
So the USB powers it?
But it can, but those drives are a bit smaller for the same price or even a little less. You could get the larger encasing drive with it that has an AC adapter, mm-hmm. but you get a 4 terabyte. So it's just however you want to play it.
I would totally do the USB power. That's a smart way to think about it.
Cool.
So you mentioned all four Gears or just Gears 1 through 3?
Yeah, because if you buy Gears Ultimate, you get them all.
Because I never played Judgment, and I kind of think that maybe Christmas break or sometime soon, I'd like to maybe just blast through that.
It's a good ride. It's a good ride.
Only the first Borderlands is on there, but is that because the others are in that collection?
Got that Handsome Collection?
The Handsome Collection, yeah. Is that too? No Orange Box, no Portal 2.
That's a bummer.
No Skyrim.
Wow, yeah.
Or is Oblivion on there?
I don't think so. Because that would have jumped out at me.
Yeah, without my Oblivion or Skyrim saves, I don't know if I'd want to.
Yeah.
Move them over anyway.
Yeah, it's also like I played Skyrim.
Well, if your saves are in the cloud on your 360, will they
work?
Come over.
So the 360 cloud will work for my Xbox One. Okay, good.
Oh, weird. Is that interesting?
Of course, the cloud didn't exist when Oblivion.
I was gonna say, like,
but if you could, I think you could go back.
Yeah, that's confusing, huh? Like, you have to go in and upload it, download an update, put it up in the cloud.
And finally, no Batman, so no Asylum, City, or Origins.
Well, lots of stuff to look forward to.
Yeah, that's true. I think they can add these in the future, and will. But Justin, you know what is on there on Xbox One's list of backwards compatible games? Sonic the Hedgehog 1 through 3 and Sonic CD.
Oh, good. Boom.
Those aren't available just on the
on Xbox
One download.
I guess not.
Well, Sega's kind of, not really doing much.
Yeah.
Anymore.
But it is, I mean, you bring up, sorry, I know you want to talk about Sonic, but you bring up a good point that I spent a bunch of money on arcade. Like, I just bought Galaga for like $5 just to play Galaga, and now that game's like trapped on my 360. Yep. And I'm like, I don't know. It feels weird. Like, it's part of my profile.
That happened with Nintendo, too.
Like, all that stuff should just transfer with you.
Nintendo
from
solved
to
it by making you pay a small fee to bring it to Wii U.
Yeah.
Which was.
Well.
So you got those four Sonic games.
Yeah. And one of our fans, Michael Bovin, writes in, recently on GameScoop, Justin has mentioned that there are no good Sonic the Hedgehog games.
Super true.
While I agree the Genesis games may not live up to the levels of excellence set by Super Mario World, to this day, many gamers revisit the Sonic games on Genesis and have great fun. When a game continues to be fun for many people decades after its release, does that not prove that the game is, in fact, at least good?
You didn't like any of the Sonic the Hedgehogs?
There are no good Sonic the Hedgehog games. They fooled us all.
I actually agree with Justin on this one.
They were fast and
pretty. You liked them at the time, though.
I played a lot of the time. Yeah. I don't remember. I think I was like trying to like it, but I was like, man.
I played the one that I played a lot was Sonic 3. I played a lot of Sonic 3, and I like the music in that game. And you know, they're not. They're not without merit. But I just think game design wise, there's nothing. It's not even remotely approaching the level of Mario.
Yeah, I agree.
But it just run into spikes and lose all your coins, and I don't know.
Sammy's just
rings, Justin. Yeah.
Excuse
rings.
Me, I've made that mistake before.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious, Marty and I made that mistake in a Let's Play, and they ate us alive in the comments.
Yeah, really
Sonic was aesthetically so different from anything else that was out at the time. That it ages. It's aged in a funny way, but like those checkerboard loops and the way Sonic looked, and just the crazy color of the game, and then just like these fantasy levels you would go to, which would be like a high up a mountain or like a, you know, like a weird Las Vegas pinball machine. It was just so different feeling, and it just really stands out for that.
I mean, maybe Sonic hasn't aged the way Mario has timelessly aged, but at the time in the 16-bit era, I mean, that speed of gameplay was something that was new. That was a whole new way of method of gameplay.
I have a vivid memory of I grew up on the NES, and then we got a Sega Genesis when I don't know exactly what year it was, but I must have been, you know, 7 or so, and like that jump from NES to Sonic 1 was like, whoa!
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was ridiculous.
I traded in my NES and all my games for a Genesis of Sonic.
That's so sad.
Which was really, I mean, but you know, I probably only had like 15 games or something because I rented all the time, you know? And that's where I lost my Final Fantasy 1 save for the first time, you know, traded in. I remember getting like $3 for each game and my parents being like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then Final Fantasy was like, $15 for this.
Yeah, I do remember.
Or not sell it.
Whenever I talk about Sonic not being good, the caveat is Sonic CD, which I think is really kind of pretty masterful in a way that the other ones aren't. And I'm so glad that, I mean, I had a Sega CD growing up, and I'm always kind of shouting to people like a maniac about Sonic CD. And now it's been ported to other platforms, and other people have got to experience it, which makes me happy.
I had a Sega CD, and I had Sonic CD too, but I just don't like Sonic CD. I think it's drab.
The soundtrack's so good.
Yeah.
Every level's got three versions of the past, present, and future. It's actually got like some puzzle solving, trying to figure out how to get enough speed to go through the other time zone.
I
think
I like aged out of Sonic by the time CD came out. Although I did like Sonic and Knuckles in concept. I liked how they added Knuckles to previous games and unlocked these levels that were in the unlockable screen for Sonic 3 that never existed. And you play, there's
you could listen to their
mushroom
music and
level.
Stuff. Yeah.
Oh man, that was really cool.
I also had a Sonic CD, but it was the far less cool the revision of it that sat to the next to instead of the cool like the one that sat underneath your Genesis.
I had that one too.
I had the side one too. And then one other thing about, I don't want to just defend Sonic as a series. I also think it's like unfortunate, but I had a great time at the time, and I think they were okay games. But I remember really liking that Tails was co-op in Sonic 2 on Forward, and it was great to play two players in Sonic because one person could lift the other person up and carry them around. Really clever.
All right, it's time to play Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Ken St. Pierre from West Palm Beach, Florida. Everyone know how this works. We have 20 yes or no questions to ask to guess Ken St. Pierre's game, and you may begin.
Well,
you want to start?
Geographically, we have to. And his name is Ken. He's from Florida.
So what do we know? What can we figure out about Ken? How old do we think he is?
Is this game from after the year 2000?
Yes.
Oh no, it's so hard.
Wow, the answer hasn't been yes in a long time.
I knew that, but just hearing he's from Florida, his name is Ken.
Ryan, we tend to go down the line.
Dead giveaway.
All right.
So now you can go to disc-based or downloadable.
Well, you're next in the line.
Okay, sure. If we're gonna go this direction. Yeah. Okay. Now, I mean, is this game primarily associated with the Xbox console family?
No.
Is it primarily associated with the Nintendo console family?
No.
And it's probably multi-platform. It's probably not.
I don't know whether to burn one on Sony now.
Yeah, that's tough. I think it's.
Oh, we just should. Is it same question, Sony?
Right, is it associated with a Sony platform? Yes.
Oh, good. okay, so after 2000, that means either PS2, PS3, or PS4.
Or Vita or PSP.
Yeah, that's true. So what's the smartest way to narrow this down?
Now, I'll ask, if it's associated with a PlayStation platform, that really helps.
Yeah. Probably. Is this a first-party game? First-party Sony game?
Yes.
Do you play as a human in it?
You skipped. You went out of order.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry.
I think so.
I love these answers.
Oh, now, okay, now.
Is Jack a human?
I'm just trying to get Kratos out of the way.
Jack and Daxter?
Jack Daxter.
Is Kratos, right. Yeah, it's Kratos. He's human, right? Somehow.
That's a tough one, man.
But then he turns into a god.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I think Damon's going to lose this time.
I think you play as a human.
Wow, I'm trying to analyze that answer now.
I'm going to say I'm leaning towards God of War. I'm leaning towards Jack and Daxter. No, he's got big long ears. Jack's not a human.
No. He's some weird. Ratchet and Clank aren't human either.
No, they're robots.
But you could be inside a ship and you never see that person, or it could be flower or something like that. So we got to figure out.
You're a flower in flower. Okay. Or you're the wind. Well, I don't know.
Be what classified about Journey? As an action game.
Yeah. That's a very broad genre, but yes.
I want to narrow down year a little bit more. Is this on PS3 or newer?
Yes.
That rules out Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what that rules out. I mean, that rules out anything PS2. Which there wouldn't have been much, would there?
Is this an RPG?
No.
At least action.
We already determined action.
Oh,
game.
Fuck.
All right.
Are Sackboys humans?
Yeah, that's a good call. What's in that thing?
Was it developed on the west coast of the United States?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Developed on the west coast.
Well, I would even say just in the United States.
I mean, close.
Should I ask a new question?
No, it's just like, it's not, it's close. It was developed in close proximity to the west coast of the United States.
Do we think is that Sony Santa Monica? Is that what
that
means?
Is the west coast.
Yeah. That would be west coast. That's 10, by
that's
way.
Where I was going with that.
So we're maybe Vancouver?
Oh man, I don't know.
That could be.
Which studio is up there?
PS3 or newer?
I have so many more.
Where's the? Wait. Oh, is it?
I don't want to get hung up on the geography.
Does your character?
Go ahead.
Does your character shoot a gun a lot?
No.
Are there sequels?
No.
There you go.
Uh oh. That's good.
It's not Little Big Planet.
Oh, okay. Damn, because I was going to guess that it was an Infamous game, but he said there are no sequels.
That's actually a gigantic... I mean, what Sony franchises don't have... They all have sequels.
Yeah. Not this one. Not a human, maybe.
Are you a human?
Are you a human in Journey?
You're not. Yeah. I said you are a human.
Should we ask about geographical location?
In the game?
Yeah, I'm sure it's Journey.
Does the game take place on Earth?
I don't think so.
Rule out the question, or?
Does it take place in a desert?
Oh, wow, well, hold on. Oh, I'm sorry, okay. Yes, to answer your question, West Coast.
Okay.
It was developed on the West Coast of the United States. Wow, sorry. I'm sorry, but I don't think it's on planet Earth.
Does it take place in a desert?
No.
Okay, so it's not Journey.
No.
I don't know that I would call Journey action. I don't know what it is.
I think it's
probably action more than anything else.
A mascot platformer.
Yeah, but like, what didn't get sequels? That's the question that's throwing me for a loop. Is like every Sony thing I can think of, there's like four of them.
Could it be like some indie thing, like Unfinished Swan, where you would just?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
that's what it's going to be. Yes, that could happen.
Okay.
Should we ask about the desk-based media?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, did it have a retail release?
Yes.
Okay. Well. Crap.
No, that really
that rules it out.
That rules out a lot of the Sony indie stuff.
So PS3 and more contemporary. Should we narrow it down to PS3 or PS4?
I don't know if that helps me.
Heavy Rain comes to mind, but the way that's like, you're definitely a human being in that, and he was so sort of vague about it.
Yeah, I would also not call that action.
Well, that's true.
And you don't shoot a gun. That's why I was like what?
And also is developed in France. Right?
Oh, well, that's also true.
Is it Heavenly Sword?
Heavenly Sword. You're
but Ninja Theory, does Ninja Theory count as first party? He said first party. They're not first party. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sony might have published that game.
No. Does that take place on Earth? Isn't that like feudal Japan or something?
Yeah, I don't know if it's Earth or not. It's some fantasy. It's like 300.
We should. Yeah, the human thing was tough.
Do you play as a? Do you play as a female?
I don't think so.
Damn it, Damon.
I don't think so. I'm trying to find out here if it's on Earth.
So it's not Octodad?
You're not a human. That's the opposite of a human. You're an octopus.
You can't tell.
That's true. You know, no one knows what he is.
Nobody knows.
He's fooled us all.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, a Sony for
okay, sure. Not Earth.
Good.
I like how you have to look up so many details for this one. For those of you just listening, Damon has been on his phone.
I
want to make sure that I'm not misleading you guys.
Okay.
Because we're at question 16, you guys are in trouble.
We're that many deep?
Yeah.
Oh, we're in trouble.
So Earth-like.
We don't even have it narrowed down that much. He thinks you don't play as a woman.
He plays as a human. Not on planet Earth.
But we didn't ask if it was a Sony developed game.
We asked if it was first party, and he said yes.
No,
I think you can associate
just to clarify if Sony calls to just publish this game.
Yeah.
So does that mean it's Heavenly Sword? No, you said you play as a man, right?
Yes.
No, he said you can't tell.
Yeah, you know, you do.
Okay.
I looked it up.
So.
Well, actually, I said human.
What's your favorite?
No, we asked man or woman.
Okay, it's a man.
What? Okay.
All right. Action game.
Should we ask setting? Is it sci-fi?
No, we're running out of time. I literally can't think. I don't know what to ask because I can't think of one. I don't even have like a list of four games I'm trying to narrow it down to.
That's okay.
I can't think of one that meets the criteria.
It didn't get a sequel.
Yeah, that's why.
Why like, would it not get a sequel?
Because it was a big bomb. Because it didn't sell.
So what were the big bombs?
Yeah.
What were the big bombs? There was Africa.
Yeah.
Are we being real dumb? How dumb are we being?
I mean, not only partly dumb. You could narrow it down to platform. You don't know if it's PS3 or PS4 or Vita.
Oh, yeah. Is this a Vita game?
No.
You're so happy.
I just thought it was funny.
That was mean. That was real mean.
That was real mean.
I'm not working against you. I'm trying to help you guys.
I would almost guess Knack, but that's not wouldn't really be an action game. That would be a platformer, one. Right?
Yeah.
Or would it?
I'm trying
because,
to.
That's really good, Ryan.
I'm trying to think about what there is at the PS.
That's an action game.
3 launch. Yeah, but you're not a human.
And he, but he was.
Yeah. He did.
He had a vague like.
He was wishy washy. Well,
on which question?
Yeah, if you're a human.
If you're a human.
We know, we've established you are a human now.
Yeah, but.
Oh, okay.
It's unclear in Knack if you're a human.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't play Knack.
You have a thing that's a different configuration.
I'm also trying to think about, like, it's.
Oh, I got one. I hope this helps us all. Was it a launch game?
That's what I was going to ask.
Well, but
no.
Didn't he say didn't he say PS3 though?
No. PS3 or later.
We're still not sure if it's PS3 or PS4, and I just didn't think.
So Heavenly Sword and Knack were both launch games, so we got rid of those.
Heavenly Sword was a launch game?
Yes.
Well, you also know you're a man.
Yeah.
Ugh, I'm in big trouble here. I know it's something like obvious too. And we know it got a retail release. I can't think of any like Sony bombs. There was Calling All Cars. There was.
Well, and we know it could just be published. So it could be anything.
Yeah. And it was developed on the West Coast.
And it's an action game.
Yeah, that's a clue. And it was a big like retail release.
I mean,
did they have a shooter? There was no like SOCOM. Well, they all got sequels, and it was a sequel itself.
I think I know what it is.
All right,
Sean, we need help.
We have two questions left. Got to bring it home.
Starhawk?
Did Craig Miller give this a really bad review?
Yes.
All right, so Sean just asked, could people on the
podcast if you didn't hear it, if anyone didn't hear it, Sean on the God Mike asked if Greg Miller gave this game a bad review.
Oh.
The answer is yes.
Oh, so it's the dragon one.
Oh, yeah.
Lair. Is it
yes.
Lair?
Yes. Yeah. That's what they call it, 20 questions.
Lair was a launch game.
No, 2007.
No, it wasn't.
It was not a launch year after.
Wow.
I always considered that a launch game.
So do I. I always considered that a launch game.
That was like the.
See, we never did as the company's still around. That could have helped with
that. So developed by Factor 5. I thought they were in Texas for some reason, but they're actually in San Rafael.
Oh, I thought they were in Texas too.
Yeah.
Why did we both think that?
Six axis
yeah.
action of that one.
It's not on Earth.
a notorious spot. No, it's supposed to be a land.
How is the rare resource you looked up for information?
There's goddamn dragons all over that game. What there are it? No dragons on Earth.
I said it's not on Earth.
Oh, I thought you said it was on Earth.
No, he said it wasn't. Okay. He had to look it up.
Let me walk.
But
back
when you
my
asked me to play as a human, I was like, "You're not the dragon, are you? You're a human riding the dragon.
You ride the dragons." Yeah.
So,
Lair was cool.
It seemed cool when I played it. Like, I feel like preview events.
I feel like there's an alternate gaming universe where that game didn't have terrible success access controls. Well, now we're all hyped for Lair 5.
They patched it later to have regular controls.
Was it? Did it make the game not bad?
I don't know. It's probably still kind of bad. Thank you, Ken St. Pierre from West Palm Beach, Florida.
Great one.
Well played.
That's a great one.
Got it in 20
And
questions.
We cheated.
Well, not really. Sean can...
We phoned a friend.
Yeah, you guys phoned a friend.
He's our designated hitter on
really?
This. Yeah.
That's all the scoops we have for you this week. If you're coming to the IGN house party this Saturday, we are very much looking forward to seeing you, hanging out with you. If you didn't get a ticket, sorry, it's been sold out for a while, but 600 of our fans are going to be hanging out with us in San Francisco this Saturday. It's going to be a really good time.
And we'll do it again.
Oh, yeah, we plan to do...
Well, it's the second one already.
Yeah, the second one this year, so, yeah.
Given some other... We did Beyond and Unlocked first, now Game Scoop and Fireteam Chat. We'll see what we do next time.
Yeah, we'll do plenty more of these. Well, thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.